Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White, dog trainer Alan Cable, groomer Joey Villani, communicator Joy Turner, and here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Well, how you doing? I'm Hal Abrams, and I'm working on my clone as I started last week. I put a little bit of DNA in this Petri dish over here, and it really isn't doing anything.
It's very fuzzy.
I think that's mold.
Yeah.
It looks like mold.
Yeah. Looks like so Don King.
It's working.
Clones don't happen overnight, okay? Give it some time, folks. Give it another week or so.
Oh, at least.
We have a fat show today. If you're fat, probably means your pet's fat. That's because you're sitting on the couch all day long and they're not getting the exercise they need. Today we're going to talk about a fat cat, a fat dog who weighed way too much. It's 77 pounds for a dachshund, and they're supposed to weigh, what, 20, 30 pounds at the most?
Yeah, not 15, 20 pounds.
Had emergency surgery to remove the skin after he lost, what, 50 pounds? We'll find out all on the show today, as well as a guy who started a Kickstarter project for a treadmill for cats. Wow, pretty incredible show. I like the theme. And, of course, we have Joey Villani, who's going to tell us about skeeters. We're going to talk about skeeters today and getting rid of skeeters on your pets.
I'm talking about skeeters. But if you would have told me this was going to be a fat show, I could have talked about, you know, how to make a fat dog look slim, too, you know. But nobody prepped me on this.
Really?
That's interesting.
You can do that just cosmetically?
Mirrors.
You could do that. Well, you could do that a little bit with haircuts and how to do it. It's called camouflage grooming.
Maybe next week.
That's right.
Okay.
There you go.
Stacy.
Well, we all know the dolphins are pretty smart. In fact, the Navy has their own team of dolphins, bottlenose dolphins, that actually work for the Navy. Well, they found something underwater off the California coast, a very rare antique. I'll tell you all the details coming up on Animal Radio News.
Jimmy Hoffa?
You know, everyone has cool pets. They got dolphins that find antiques. This one, my dogs do nothing. They pee and bark and look at you.
Hey, Kim, do you talk baby talk to your pets?
You know what? I don't.
They don't like that.
Thank goodness.
What's going on? I understand you have dog problems.
You know, I do. We adopted a Siberian Husky from a rescue about 3 months ago. And shortly after we adopted him, he kind of had issues. So we put him into boarding and training, and we got him back probably, I want to say, about a week ago. And he was there for 3 weeks. Before that, the separation anxiety was pretty strong, and it's still really strong. And, you know, I want him to be a happy dog, so I just want to better understand, you know, what's causing this and how to address it.
Hey, Kim, who did you adopt him from? You said, and I didn't hear.
We adopted him from the Southern California Siberian Rescue Husky.
And how old is he? How old is he?
He's about 18 months old.
Okay. And so what does he do when you come home?
Well, when we leave, it's like he's just so upset, and it sounds like he's literally being tortured.
And so then when you leave and he's so upset and it sounds like he's being tortured, what do you do at that point in time? What do you do exactly?
Ignore him.
Okay. Do you just walk out the door?
Yeah.
And then what happens when you leave? Does he destroy anything? What does he do?
If it's outside... If I go to the car that's outside, he starts thrashing at the gate, howling.
Well, I mean, let's say you leave, right? You come back home. What has he done to your house? Anything?
Not anything, no. We also learn to put things away.
So he doesn't destroy anything. He just sort of probably mellows out and lays there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
okay.
My guess.
So right before you leave the house, what do you do?
I will probably do my routine where I'll grab my purse.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, the dogs have triggers. Think about what you're doing. Right before you leave the house, you grab your purse. Dogs go from hot to cold really quick, from cold to hot really quick. But there's certain triggers. There's certain things that they've learned through your behavior and watching you that you do right before you leave the house, which gets him excited, doesn't it?
Okay.
So picking up your purse would be one of them.
Yeah. I mean, understandably.
Okay. So you want to give your dog confidence. He's a very insecure dog, and there's a lot of things you can do that. And one of them, of course, is a daily walk. Daily walks are so important for dogs. People just don't realize how important it is to walk with your dog 30 minutes a day on a leash, meeting people, going past other dogs, doing things that make your dog feel confidence. And a walk is a great way to build confidence and trust between you and your dog. So that's an important thing to do. The other thing thing is to stop, slow down from hyperspeed, because when you leave the house, you're subconsciously just doing what you do. So what you have to do is slow down the process and analyze your behavior, what you're doing before you leave the house. And you have to recognize the triggers that are getting your dog excited. So picking your purse up is one of them. So here's an exercise. Let's say you pick up your purse, you grab your coat. Those are the two things you do before you leave the house. Your dog starts to get wound up and kooky before you leave. Well, what you want to do is start picking your purse up and carrying it around the house, but not going anywhere.
Okay.
So your dog loses the ability to recognize that as a trigger. And then as you pick your purse up, okay, and you start walking around the house, you don't talk to your dog, but you carry treats in your pocket. And every time you put the purse on your shoulder, after a little while, you start giving your dog a treat. Just giving him a treat every time you put the purse on your shoulder. So he starts to associate your purse with not bad, not I'm leaving. He starts to associate your purse with, oh, every time she puts that purse on, I get a treat. Okay?
Okay.
And then what you want to do, whatever other triggers there are, you want to do the same thing. Then what you want to do is you want to start going towards the door and just standing there. You just stand by the door, but you don't actually leave, okay? Your dog's going to start getting crazy when you go to the door. He thinks you're leaving, but you don't actually leave, and you just stand there. And after doing that a couple of days, when your dog stops reacting to you going to the door, you start telling him, good dog. You start rewarding him with a little bit of affection for being calm when you walk towards the door. And then you open the door. You know, you chain him up so he can't run out, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then you do the same thing. It's a step-by-step progression. And when you come home, how does the dog act?
Usually he's excited and he pees.
Okay. When he's excited and he's submissive pees when you come home, and it's interesting, I'll tell you a story if I have time about a guy. You know, there might be things you're doing you don't realize that are causing him to pee. But when you come home and he gets excited, what do? Do you give him affection?
You know, I don't. I walk through and it's usually a very calm hello. And he gets, you know, he starts to jump. And if I do pat him on the head or give him a nuzzle underneath, that's when he starts to pee. So there's some attention, but it's not over attention.
You're giving him attention you're giving him attention without realizing it because you're feeling guilty. Okay. So when you feel human emotions, they transcend right into your dog. So what you've got to do is you come home. It's a non-event. You open the door. You walk in. You pay no attention to him for like 15 minutes. 15 minutes. As soon as he starts to be calm, just goes and lays down, that's when you walk over and gently pet him and give him a treat, say good dog. And doing that consistently over and over and over again forever teaches him that he gets attention when he's calm, teaches him that he gets a treat when he's calm, teaches him you're not going to pay any attention to him when he's wound up and manic. The only way to teach dogs what you want is with action, because words mean nothing to them. As a matter of fact, they think you're joining in when you get excited and you start talking.
That makes sense.
Now, just to give you an example of what I'm talking about, and I hope I have time, Hal. I hope I'm not eating up too much time. But this is an interesting story. A guy I was working with, his dog would go nuts and chew up stuff. And, you know, when he came home, the dog would pee. And I say, tell me about your week last week. And he said, well, last week was interesting. I got a raise last week and I came home and the dog had chewed up my favorite pair of Nikes. And I was so happy about my raise. I just pet him and it was no big deal. Firstly, this is a guy who refused to crate his dog. You can't do that. You can't put him in a cage. It's cruel. It's mean. Okay, whatever. So then I go, tell me about the rest of your week. So 2 days later, he comes home. He's really mad because his dog gave him a reprimand. His boss gave him a reprimand because he hadn't finished an assignment on time. He comes home. Of course, his dog had destroyed something else. I think it was a pair of drapes that he dragged off the window or something. So now he's mad. Now he's mad. And now he's reprimanding his dog. So I ask him, you know, he's a human, he's supposed to be smart. What do you think the dog thinks when you come home? What do you think's going on in the dog's mind?
Right.
And he goes, you know, I never thought about that. And I go, well, let me tell you what. The dog doesn't know that you got a raise. The dog doesn't know that you got reprimanded. The dog doesn't know that you're mad or happy because he chewed up your shoes. He associates you coming home with, I don't know what the heck is going to happen. Sometimes this guy walks through the door and gives me affection. Sometimes he walks through the door and he punishes me. So the dog gets really, really nervous and anxious and pees.
It makes sense. And I guess we dog owners just feel that sense of guilt when we don't give them attention, but it, you know, obviously it sounds like it's.
You know what? The kindest thing that you or any dog owner can do is teach your dog the rules that'll get him attention.
Yeah.
And not giving him attention first, but last.
Yeah.
Because dogs crave consistency, they crave rules, they crave structure, they crave leadership. They need that to be happy and calm and well-adjusted. And a calm dog is a happy dog. And so you can do this because you're smart, Kim. I can tell by talking to you that you are very smart, and you can do this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want him, you know, I put him in to be boarded and trained because I needed that structure, but I want to continue it, and that's why I want to address these issues so that he is happy and secure and confident.
Well, before you go, remember this. There's a big difference between dog training and dog behavior. And changing dog training is like you train your dog to sit, you train your dog to heel, you train your dog to do a trick. Dog behavior is how your dog is actually responding and behaving. And changing dog behavior takes a lot of consistency, patience, calm behavior on your part, leadership, and time. It takes time. People in America, they want a pill to cure everything. Dog behavior takes time to change, and it takes consistency. You do the same things every single time and every single day so your dog knows what to expect, and you never deviate. And when you do that, your dog is going to learn to trust you and to be calm around you.
And if it makes you feel any better at all, every time I come into the studio, usually Alan will roll over and pee sometimes. So
that's right. That's right. All over myself. That's right.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. It's made possible by Fear Free, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfree.com to find care near you.
Do your dogs go nuts when they hear fireworks or during a bad thunderstorm? It's not their fault. They have sensitive ears. You love your dog, and so do we. That's why we developed a perfect solution for your loved pets by eliminating the harmful noise. It's called Doggy Hush, a unique waterproof set of headphones that go over your dog's ears. They're so comfortable, your dog won't even know they're wearing them. And when this happens, your dog will feel and stay safe and stress-free. Go to DoggyHush.com. Enter the promo code we're about to give you for a free special gift. Again, buy Doggy Hush for your dog today and protect your dog's ears from fireworks, thunderstorms, and a lot more harmful noises. Go to DoggyHush.com and enter this promo code. Radio 4. Radio and the number 4. Go to DoggyHush.com right now and enter the promo code Radio 4. Again, that's promo code Radio 4.
Hi, this is Eric Dane on Animal Radio, reminding you to spay and neuter your pets.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, Kathy.
Yes, hello.
How are you? Where are you calling from today?
Alpena, Michigan. That's, oh, baby, 200 miles from Detroit.
Is that on the top part of the glove?
Exactly.
What's going on with your animal? I have Dr. Debbie right here.
Yes.
Well, howdy.
She's 13 years old, and ever since January, it's been an on and off situation. But in January, she was high blood count, fever, infection, loss of weight, diarrhea. And they took, but after that, she was fine. They put her on amoxicillin and everything. She was fine for 2 months. Then, and I'm trying to go real fast. Then in April, everything's been up and down, up and down. But the main thing, her blood count elevated, this and that. But the main thing now, she's in no pain. She lost weight. She's happy, everything. But she still has the diarrhea. And now they're thinking she might be having irritable bowel disease, and they are trying to rule out all these different things, you know. Now they're going to put her on steroids. We picked her, picked up steroids today and see within a week if she's going to improve. But the main thing is she's losing weight and the diarrhea.
Okay, and I missed, what kind of dog is she?
German Shepherd, 13 years old. And she's been healthy all her life.
All righty. Well, I mean, and definitely that strategy can be a very sound one in a 13-year-old dog. And
right.
The causes of weight loss accompanied with vomiting and or diarrhea, we definitely go gearing towards the gut. And if we don't feel anything that's feeling like a lump or a bump or a mass internally, yeah, then sometimes we have to look at the things that are harder to prove just from outward means or even from tests such as blood work and x-rays.
Right.
So ultimately, to get an answer to some of these situations, you know, we're looking at getting biopsies of the intestinal tract. And
exactly.
That, you know, isn't really necessarily realistic in a 13-year-old dog. So, you know, there might be some steps that we can do to try to figure out a little bit more about what's going on in the digestive tract. So for me, often with a dog that's losing weight, you know, I may do things like do some vitamin B levels. Cobalamin and folate can be helpful because even if we're not going to go for something like a biopsy, sometimes those elements need to be supplemented, and they can really benefit from vitamin B therapy along with antibiotics and probiotics to try to help keep things going. And there are definitely some doggies where when we're suspicious that they might have an inflammatory problem like inflammatory bowel disease, you know, that steroids are certainly on the table. And sometimes we just kind of give it a whirl, see how they do.
Right.
And if we see improvement, then, you know, that's a very realistic approach for a doggy in her age bracket, you know, with some caveats, because anytime we use steroids, there's good and bad. So there
right.
are some conditions that can be worsened with that. And in an older pet, you know, I do also worry about things like, you know, the big C. Cancer
yep.
certainly is a possibility, and it can be tough to rule that out completely by these, you know, these tests that we do from the outside. You know, certainly, you know, I think you have nothing to lose by trying that approach. And especially if she's continuing to lose weight, even though you had her on the antibiotics and she still lost weight despite that, right?
Right. Well, she does gain a couple pounds in here and there. And I forgot to tell you that in the blood work right now, they found that she is losing protein in her body and
mm-hmm.
she's her glands are producing too much cortisol.
Mm, okay. Okay.
That's
so
just now her lab work from this week.
Mm, okay. Yeah, and the protein loss, you definitely, if we're having chronic diarrhea, we look for where we could lose it in the body, and you can lose protein in the GI tract. You can also lose it in the kidneys, and sometimes we don't have enough protein because we're anemic or we're just having problems with our overall metabolism. So if the diarrhea is the cause of that, yeah, I can understand why she might have a low protein level. And
right.
Cushing's disease isn't necessarily something that I first think of if we have a digestive problem and weight loss. So the problem is with Cushing's disease, it's a disease that causes high levels of cortisone in the body, but stress causes high levels of cortisone. So disease processes can cause us to have high cortisone levels. So
uh-huh.
it can be a little hard to really interpret that in the face of a sick pet. So,
But other than that, she's playful, she's happy, she's got appetite, except for now the diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
No pain, no nothing, because they check for bumps and lumps in here. No pain, very playful. She's this and that, except for now the big thing is the diarrhea.
Well, and hopefully we'll see, you know, with the steroid if that helps. But, you know,
right.
those other things.
Yeah.
And if you haven't already used things like probiotics, and some dogs, we will even entertain putting them on low-level antibiotics if we're suspicious that they have intestinal overgrowth in their intestinal tract. And that can happen very commonly, you know, secondary to some intestinal diseases or sometimes all by itself. So it's not a case where we like to use antibiotics, you know, indiscriminately, but for some
right.
of these pets, it really can help treat them and their quality of their life.
I like where you're going in with the vet. She also said the biopsy, we'll see if the steroids were very good. Oh, I appreciate so much for you. My sister in LA listens to your program all the time. We just listen to it all the time.
Well, thank you so much for listening. Hope everything turns out well there.
Well, it's the season for egrets to nest. And in Fort Worth, Texas, they're having some problems with that because these huge birds are leaving huge droppings. And all of their lawns that were once green are now turning brown. But these neighbors in the neighborhoods where these birds nest have gotten together and they've come up with a plan to get those birds the heck out of there. I don't know if I'd want to live in this neighborhood because what they're planning is going to be pretty loud. But I'll tell you about it coming up on Animal Radio News.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
every puppy purchased from a pet store or a breeder, a homeless dog at an animal shelter loses the chance of ever going for a romp in the park, chasing a ball, or feeling secure in a real home. Dogs and cats in shelters are waiting for someone kind to come along. So if you or anyone you know is ready for the responsibility of giving an animal a lifelong home full of patience, understanding, and respect, please adopt, don't shop.
Is diabetes keeping you from enjoying life's special moments? At US Med, we understand the challenges you face, and we're here to help.
With US Med, I can finally manage my diabetes without it managing me.
US Med offers a wide range of services to simplify your diabetes care, personalized care plans, convenient access to cutting-edge diabetes tech, and knowledgeable support. Plus, we'll check your insurance so your diabetes care may be covered at little or no cost to you.
With US Med, I feel confident and control of my diabetes. I can finally live my life to the fullest.
Don't let diabetes hold you back. Choose US Med and experience better birthdays, better adventures, better anniversaries, and better everything. Call now. US Med. Better service. Better care. 800-434-5019. 800-434-5019. 800-434-5019. That's 800-434-5019.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Stacey Cohen for Animal Radio. I don't know about you, but my dog always barks at the mailman. There's something about the mailman that just drives my dogs crazy. In fact, they will not even deliver mail at my house. I had to get a P.O. box because when I used to have a big German Shepherd Border Collie mix, he would always go after him. But dogs seem to go postal in L.A. more than any other U.S. city. The U.S. Postal Service released its rankings of the best and worst cities for dog attacks on mail carriers. L.A. recorded 69 incidents last year. San Antonio and Seattle round out the top three worst cities. Wichita, Kansas, that is the safest city with just 20 attacks. So if you want to be a mailman, stay away from the dogs. Wichita, Kansas is where you need to go. Almost 6,000 postal workers were attacked by dogs. An old video posted online could cause some new problems for two Florida men, one of which is seen jumping on top of a manatee and her calf.
It's right here. Look, it's a huge one.
Let me get, hey, should I
do it? There's two of them.
Should I do it? Let's do it. Get that. Drop it. Drop it. Let's do it. Ready, Phil? You ready?
Get him, Phil. Get one.
What an idiot. The video was first posted on Facebook about a year ago, but now the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission is launching an investigation. Officers have already identified the men in the video and say they could face state and federal charges for harassing the endangered mammals. Residents in Fort Worth, Texas are gearing up to scare away egrets before they nest. Last year, the egrets invaded neighborhoods, leaving behind droppings that filled the air with flies and turned some lawns brown. Because the egrets are protected by the Federal Migratory Bird Treaty Act of 1918, those giant birds can't be disturbed as they nest. This year, residents, though, are taking some preventative action and arming themselves with air horns and bells to scare off the giant birds if they fly around looking for places to build nests. Bill Campbell, who's president of the Tanglewood Neighborhood Association, tells the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that people don't want the birds to get comfortable nesting in their neighborhoods. He added that residents will probably have to scare off the birds every year. In the future, some neighborhoods are looking into building areas where the egrets can nest in peace. Wildlife Protection Group wants to work on a freeway project in Petaluma, California, stop because it's causing the deaths of swallows there that nest in the bridge. The Press Democrat says concerns around the construction at the Highway 101 bridge right over the Petaluma River. The wildlife advocates say federally protected cliff swallows build mud nests in that bridge, and Caltrans' efforts to keep those birds away is allegedly killing the birds instead. So they're asking a federal judge to stop the work and force Caltrans to do additional environmental studies before they resume construction. I'm Stacey Cohen. Get more animal breaking news at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Animal Radio. Don't forget, download the Animal Radio app for iPhone or Android. Ask your questions directly from the phone, as well as listen to past shows. The application has been updated. It's really cool. It's a free download. And we head across the country to Violet. How are you doing?
Hi, Hi, how are you?
Good. Where are you calling from today?
California.
Who's that in the background?
That's Vegas. He came from Las Vegas, and now he's in here for daycare today.
Oh, okay.
So I have a daycare. It's Pooch's Playground.
So what's going on with your animal? I have Dr. Debbie right here.
Someone dropped off this little chihuahua, and I've raised him now. And he's got a lot of little spots. Like, you know, I took him to get fixed, and he says he has an allergy. Well, I mean, yeah, they fixed them, but they didn't say what kind of allergy, because then they would have to do a skin thing. So I started giving him some kind of Flex Dog, which is a three fatty acid and an immune system. I'm seeing a little bit difference, but I don't know if that's what I could do for, like, doing his, I do the tea tree, but that's not working. So maybe a different type of shampoo.
Okay, tell me a little bit more about this guy. How old is he?
He's only 5 months old.
5 month old, little chihuahua. And what do these areas look like on his body?
Little just like spots of red.
And is there hair loss in the areas?
It's just pink. He's got hair on there. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a special shampoo should I do or...
Okay. Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is that allergies definitely can happen in young dogs. But the truth of the matter is that seasonal allergies, inhalant allergies, are not going to be present in a doggy this young. So things that are pollens, you know, things that are blooming outside, it takes well over a year and a half of exposure to those environmental allergens for a pet to develop an allergy. So we can almost kind of just ignore that whole possibility. Okay. But we can sometimes see food allergies in young dogs. Sometimes the youngest I've diagnosed it has been a six-month-old puppy. But typically those pets will tend to be quite itchy. You know, we have some pretty typical signs with that. In a chihuahua puppy, oh golly, at 5 months old, I will tell you.
White. Yeah, I understand he's high maintenance.
Yeah. The first thing I honestly would have this boy evaluated for is to check him for mites. Demodectic mites, or what they call the red mange,
they just
is quite common.
When I took them in, and then they fixed them. So they said just to do the cortisone.
Well, and if it did it help?
It does help, yeah. But every time I take him over to my mom's yard, I think he's allergic to the grass. Because when he comes back, he's all red again.
Okay. Well, I'm just telling you, going with the odds in a young pup of his age, even if we don't see mites on the first sampling, sometimes it does take multiple samplings. So I would just want to make sure we exhaust that. And now, this is something your vet can't do just by looking. They actually have to take some skin samples. They have to do that skin scraping, as we call it. Yeah. So if that's been done, then I'll feel more comfortable about that. But, you know, okay, so say that test is negative for your little guy. Yes, there are definitely going to be some things we're going to look at doing. And we might start with some of those colloidal oatmeal shampoos, which can be very soothing for the skin. And then I would address going into a hypoallergenic diet. I'm not really familiar with some of the brand that you mentioned.
Yeah.
But
no
to get
grain,
into
no nothing.
Yeah, and you know, grain isn't always the big problem. It's kind of a big fad in the human world with nutrition. But actually, some research studies actually have shown that some of the most common allergens in foods for dogs are things like beef, which is over 30% of the most common allergens in dogs. Dairy and wheat are followed after that. And actually, you know, corn is pretty low on the list. It's lower down. So things when we talk about grains, yeah, it could be a grain problem, but in many cases, it could be a chicken, a beef, all those other ingredients.
Chicken. Oh my gosh, yeah.
So you would, I'd say, pick up that phone, talk to that vet, and say, what food would you recommend? In my office, if I'm treating a food allergy, I like to go to something in a young dog like a novel protein diet. Maybe it's going to be something that's just got two ingredients. It's going to have a carbohydrate and it's going to have a protein. My own dog is on a rabbit-based diet. Some dogs thrive really well on a fish-based diet. And the thing I'll tell you is with hypoallergenic diets, you know, it's a little bit trickier than just looking on the label and saying, is this food have that ingredient or not? Because for hypoallergenic diets, the ideal way to do this is to manage it with very limited ingredients and to make sure that we're using things that are new and novel to the pet's experiences. So, you know, I personally, as a veterinarian, I like to have some recommendations that I would throw your way. So chat with that veterinarian and make sure that we didn't have mites. And then we can talk about a little bit more about these diets. And fatty acids are great. I like that you mention the diet with fatty acids, but, you know, I prefer to bring them in a supplement form. So bring it in a pill, bring it in a liquid, add that in so that we can control the dose and the amount, and we know that it's going to be beneficial for your little guy. Mm. Violet, I commend you. You've got your hands full with that whole crew of doggy daycare, and bless that little guy's heart, and I'm sure you're going to get him on the mend here soon. This is Dr. Debbie. If you have a question for the Dream Team, give us a call.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, it's Vinny Penn, your party animal, coming at you on Animal Radio. I want to talk to you about recently down at the local pet store, and I saw the signs. Guy came in looking for a sign to convey to people visiting his house that he had a large dog. He didn't want beware of dog. He wanted something that said along the lines of beware of large dog. And he was surprised that he couldn't find it. Maybe they exist, you know, maybe they don't. And of course, the person helping him at the store, I don't have any clue if they existed or not. For him, he was just, I overheard him saying, you know, my dog's a sweetheart, but he's a large dog. And I would just want people stopping by to know. You may be terrified as this huge dog comes lumbering at you, but basically you're just going to get a bath in spit and a whole lot of love. And he was surprised that these signs didn't exist, or that he couldn't find one at this store or whatever. My thought is, if they don't exist, I mean, let's run the gamut. Beware of leg-humping dog. Beware of dog who will like the taste of your blood. Beware of wife who's going to scare the hell out of you as she reprimands the dog for running towards you and or barking. There's a variety of signs to be made. This is yet again your party animal coming at you and missing an opportunity to patent something, to copyright something, and make money. Beware of dog that will eat your pocketbook and belch loudly afterwards. Beware of dog that will accidentally urinate on you. In parentheses, maybe not accidentally. Vinny Penn, Party Animal, Animal Radio.
I would love to go on vacation, but I don't want to leave our Charlie behind.
I agree. I heard that the magazine Fido Friendly lists places where you can stay with your pet. They also offer reviews so you have an idea about pet policy to include any restrictions, fees, and what pet amenities to expect.
That's, dare I say, possum. What are we waiting for?
I'm way ahead of you. I just logged on to FidoFriendly.com and found a 4-star resort. Hilton Santa Fe Resort and Spa at Buffalo Thunder in New Mexico.
Charlie agrees. When do we leave?
As soon as you can pack your bags. It's off to adventure with Charlie, thanks to Fido Friendly Magazine. To find your next family adventure that includes your furry family friend, log on to FidoFriendly.com.
This is Animal Radio.
I don't understand these fat pet people. I mean, it's not like the dog and the cat go to the supermarket and buy stuff.
Especially a fat dachshund. I mean, that's not an attractive looking fat dog.
No, and a basset hound, that would be an unattractive looking fat dog too. Bulldogs
I've seen big, but basset, I mean, they just drag their thing along the floor. Yeah. You got to put a little salve on it or something.
Judy's always giving them treats.
Well, of course,
oh, it's easy around here. We get all sponsored stuff here. I mean, it's hard not to.
He's saying that while I'm on the phone. That's not true.
He tells me it's no laughing matter, and then he starts laughing. I mean, if you got a fat pet, it's because you're feeding your pet too much. It's pretty simple.
Okay, let's go to this phone call. Come on.
Hey, Tim.
Hello.
How you doing today?
Doing good.
Where are you calling from?
Panama City Beach, Florida.
Oh, I bet it's beautiful there today.
It's nice and hot.
Well, I understand you have dog issues.
Well, yeah, they're great little dogs. We have two Cairn Terriers. It's a new color day. They're wheat-colored Cairn Terriers. Two
wow.
sisters out of the same litter. And when my wife takes them out to walk, they've just turned 4 years old, but when she takes them out to walk, and they've pretty much always done this, it's just like sled dogs. You know, they walk you, you don't walk them. And she don't want to put a choker chain on them. She's afraid it's going to hurt them, and we're trying to figure out, you know, other than, you know, if that's what we need to do, or if we, you know, if there's something else we can do.
Tim, you're a nice guy. Your wife, you're wonderful people. You're the kind of people that I would love to live next door to, because I can just tell you're sweet people. And you know, sweetness does not equate with being a good dog parent. Sweetness is something you save for last. And so what you've got now is you got those retractable leashes on the dog, don't you, where, you know, you can let out the rope.
They're regular nylon loop. They're not retractable. It's just like a 5 foot or 6 foot leash.
All right. So how much time do you have?
For the dogs?
Yeah, to work with your dog.
Well, we can work with them in the mornings or in the afternoon or in the evenings. You know, I work for myself and she does too. We have our own business and,
So we can
pretty much, you know, do whatever we want to do. So,
well, what technique do you want? Do you want the simple technique because there is none,
or
do you want the? Firstly, the choker chain will not hurt your dog. It's the way you use the choker chain that can hurt your dog. Basically, a choker chain is just something to give your dog a little friendly reminder that he's not acting the way you want. It's the way you use it. So you're not going to hurt your dog by putting a choker chain on your dog. So that's a really important thing. You've got to have some sort of a collar on your dog that you can use to give your dog a correction. The easiest technique I'm going to give you for working with your dog, and believe me, none of them work overnight. You've got to be patient, calm, and... All right. You're going to have to work with one dog at a time, though. You don't want to work with them both, or your wife has to take one, you take the other one, okay?
Right.
And the preparation starts before you leave the house. So before you leave the house and you're getting ready to take your dog for a walk, there's certain things you do that get him immediately excited. Maybe you pick the leash up and he sees that and he gets really excited by it, right?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what happens.
All right, so what you're going to do now is you're going to pick the leash up, but you're not going to take him out. And you're going to do that a lot. You're just going to pick the leash up and walk around the house with it so he never knows when he's going out. That's the first thing you're going to do. The second thing you're going to do is when you leave the house, you wait till the dog is calm. You just sit there. You stand there with the dog at your side. You stand there. You don't move. As soon as he's calm, you make a move towards the door. If he gets excited, you stop. You're going to do a lot of starting and stopping. And once you get him outside, you start walking. As soon as he starts pulling, you just stop. You just stop walking and stand there. Now, it's important that you know you don't talk, Tim. You and your wife do not talk to the dog. Just stand there. As soon as he calms, you start walking again. As soon as he starts pulling, you stop again. And the whole time, the leash is glued to your body like you're a tree stump. You've got it glued to your side or to your chest. And you're training your dog to walk on your side, never in front of you. So if he starts walking in front of you and pulling, you just stop, stand there, and you don't move for as long as it takes for him to mellow out.
Okay.
Does any of that make sense to you, buddy? It's going to take a long time.
Yeah.
It's going
to
take a
long time. We've even tried those harnesses. It's supposed to stop them from pulling, you know, when they pull and all that, but I don't think those haven't worked. So.
Tim,
you know,
nothing stops a dog from pulling but you. Well, what people don't understand is, like, let's say you take your dog out, you train your dog for 15 minutes. Well, what are you doing the other 23 hours and 45 minutes a day? You're teaching your dog stuff without him even knowing it. Without you even knowing it, you're teaching your dog all kinds of things. And what you've got to do is you've got to be in charge. You've got to act like a leader. You've got to stop feeling sorry for your dog and worrying about him. And, you know, you've got to treat him like a dog, and you've got to be the leader that says, hey, I don't like this behavior. Cut it out. And the way you do that is with your body, not with your words. The way you do that is when your dog starts pulling on a leash, you just stop walking. You just stop.
Yeah. Okay.
And you wait for him to stop pulling before. That's what you got to do, buddy.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
The other question was, when the doorbell rings, by no means are they vicious. They've never even offered or tried to bite anyone. They really won't even lick you. But when somebody rings the doorbell, they go crazy, barking.
Yeah, of course.
And then once the people get inside, they're all excited. They don't, you know, jump on you or do nothing like that. It's just that doorbell is like a boxer, I guess. You ring the, you know, when he's ready to box.
And why do you think your dogs go barking crazy?
I don't know.
All right, the correct answer
excites them, you know.
Tim, the correct answer is yes, it does excite them. But why do they go crazy, Tim? Because you let them go crazy. You see, you give them the spay. They're just being territorial. They're protecting their territory.
Sure.
And the doorbell keys them up and it gets them excited. Another thing to understand is if you take them on long walks, it'll mellow them out. They probably won't go as crazy. They're just looking for ways to stimulate themselves too.
Yeah.
But you've got to teach them that the space in front of the door is yours. And you do that by practice with a buddy. You have a buddy outside. You tell him to ring the doorbell. As soon as he goes to ring the doorbell and the dog makes his move to go to the door, you stand in front and hurt him away with your body and teach him that's your space. And then you teach him to lay on his rug and be quiet. And then you do it over and over and over and over again with your body, with your actions, not with your words. When he starts doing what you want, you tell him good dog and give him a treat.
All right.
It takes a long time to do these things, though, Tim. A long time. Well, repetition. You and your wife have to do the exact same thing over and over and over and over again.
Being 4 years old, are they still? We can still teach them to do that, correct?
Absolutely. You can teach. Okay. There's no such thing as not being able to teach an old dog new tricks.
Got an old car? You can donate it and save a life. The United Breast Cancer Foundation needs your help. They want to keep saving lives by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car or truck, running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Call now for free pickup.
800-793-4880. 800-793-4880. That's 800-793-4880.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White, dog trainer Alan Cable, groomer Joey Villani, communicator Joy Turner, and here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
This hour, we're going to talk to a lady who's rescued a cat from McDonald's. Apparently, it was hanging out and eating food all day long, and it didn't meet the nutritional requirements of a cat. Also, we're going to, I guess Obi's out. We're not going to be talking to Obi.
No, we didn't get Obi this week.
Okay, but maybe next week. We're finding, I guess there's some legal custody battles going on. More details about that 77-pound dachshund on the way. Let's see. We're going to line four and line five. Okay, hold on a second. Stacy, what are you doing?
I don't know. Snakes are not something that really freak me out. Some people are really freaked out by snakes. They just see one and they start screaming.
Snake!
But there's this guy in Florida who got out of his car. There was a 128-pound snake. Now, this is not a worm. This is a snake. It's a python.
Wow.
He got out and wrestled with it, and it wrapped around his leg. I mean, he was just driving by and saw it. I'll tell you what happened coming up on Animal Radio News.
Wow, that's a big snake. Dr. Debbie, you deal with snakes down there at the clinic. I know you stay away from tarantulas.
Yeah, you know, I let my associates deal with most of the snakes. And definitely a 128-pound snake, I certainly won't be seeing.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay. The guy's riding by in his car, and he sees the snake. Why does he have to get out and bother the snake? I mean, and then, of course, the story sounds like, oh, this guy's fighting for his life. The snake attacked him. You know, the snake's minding his own business, going about his merry snake way. And Rudolph gets out of his car and has to mess with him. And, of course, he's probably trying to defend himself and protect himself. And all of a sudden, the human is the victim.
Well, I think
this is
in Florida where they're having the problem with all the snakes and they have bounty on their heads.
I got problems with
these are dangerous. I mean, these will take your dog down, man. I mean, you know, they'll take small children, wildlife. So they are an invasive species.
128 pounds, I think it already probably took a dog or two down or a small child.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. And you?
Very well. Where are you calling from today?
Well, I'm truck driving here in Wyoming.
Ooh, lovely Wyoming. I feel for you, man. It's lots
windy
of
out here.
Wind and lots of flat, I imagine.
Yeah.
So what's going on with your dog? Or cat, or iguana. What is it?
Well, we have, my wife and I, we have a 10-year-old smooth fox terrier. And, she's been a very active, athletic dog up until, I'd say, a month and a half ago. She has developed a honking-type cough. And, the toughest part right now is throughout the night, she'll go through these spells.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during the day, my wife is wondering, you know, why is she sleeping? Well, she's not getting sleep at night.
Right.
And, you know, from my research, my wife, and then we have gone to the vet, there's a high suspicion that it's a collapsing trachea.
Is she having any other symptoms at all as far as any weight loss, any other problems? Is she eating okay?
She's still eating. She's seems to be a little more picky now, surprising, because she would engulf her food so fast that she would let out a burp any drunk would.
She likes her food and doesn't mind the unladylike behaviors there. So she's coughing, so do you feel that in general that she's, besides this cough at night, that she seems to have, you know, some slowing down, not eating well? Do you perceive that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
You know, her favorite thing in the world is a like a handball, a blue ball. And mm-hmm. we had to put it away because as soon as she gets, excited, she'll start hacking.
Okay. All right. So tell me what has been done for her so far, and is there anything you're pursuing right now?
Well, here's the tough part. My wife did, you know, take the dog to the vet probably about a month ago, and so I went back to the vet to kind of beg them to prescribe a medication for her cough. What okay. they're looking at is, of course, was a blood panel for about $150.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went back, they said, well, we definitely would have to do x-rays to confirm. So that's another visit plus the x-rays. That's $190. And from what I gather, there is no cure. There's only kind of a...
Okay. I'm going to back you up here, Jacob, because we don't have a diagnosis yet. And that's part of my concern is prescribing something for what we don't really know what condition is going on. And the reason I'm kind of backpedaling here is because if we're going to presume that a dog has something like genetic or something anatomical, say like a collapsing trachea, that kind of problem tends to be present throughout their lifetime. And it doesn't, unless we're in extreme situations, it doesn't really cause them a decrease in their quality of life. So for me, if I am presented with a pet that is coughing and especially can't make it through the night, and maybe we're off on food a little bit, and this kind of behavior hasn't been present throughout their lifetime, it really warrants looking into. So I would concur with your veterinarian that I think those tests are very sound things to do to get right. us a better feel what we're up against. Because throwing a cough suppressant at her, if she's having some kind of heart problems developing, could be a very detrimental or even fatal thing. So we want to make sure we're treating the right thing and giving you the right pills. So definitely, you know, these type of tests, there are fees with them. And those aren't terribly off. You know, I'd say in the area that I practice, you know, you're still, you know, maybe we're probably like $20 less on some of those things than what you had mentioned. But still, those are pretty valid fees there. So, you know, if you need to pick and go ahead.
If they were to, let's say, run a blood panel and then they found the specifics, it's almost like a human being. They're looking at specifics on the chemical.
Sure.
On let's say a heart problem. Would they just, you know, pretty much rule out the trachea and say, well, you know, unfortunately her ticker is in right, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it depends on how we want to approach it and how much suspicion the veterinarian has. Now, there's times when I'm listening to a dog's heart and I'll say, you know, there's something really wacky going on right here. And it can kind of help me to encourage a pet owner that I have a strong index of a suspicion that there's something we're going to find. So for me, sometimes I'll pick an x-ray first over blood work. Sometimes I think it's prudent to do both of those at the same time. And I probably can't say specifically in your pet situation what the case may be, but I would definitely think that, you know, what you're describing sounds like we do need to get some kind of diagnostics to decide that and to see, are we going to be going down the respiratory pathway or are we looking at more of a heart-based problem? And because the medicines are different and, you know, even if you're not looking at doing a lot of really crazy tests, those are two basic things that I would say are going to help your veterinarian in determine what is the best course of action to go. Does that make sense?
There's a little, definitely. There's a, you know, unfortunately, there's a little hesitancy based on kind of her treatment in the past of stupid allergies, you know. And 1 year she took a shot that really worked excellent throughout the summer. And then the following year, it was like the same supposed shot lasted maybe a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a horrific incident. My brother had a purebred lab that I guess she wasn't feeling well, but they took her to the vet. It was a different vet. And they said, you know, everything looks great. And the next day, the dog dropped dead.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, Jacob, sometimes it's a matter of also just kind of, if you're not feeling that relationship with the veterinarian, definitely. I admire and I definitely think it's every pet owner's right to seek a second opinion. So you might just be time to maybe pick up the phone, check around, and if you're not feeling it with your regular vet, you know, see if someone else has a different opinion. But I can tell you my opinion is that I think that what they're recommending certainly sounds good, and it sounds like something, you know, we need to at least embrace some testing in some format. So I hope your baby does okay with that. And there's definitely things we can try. If we do have, say, a collapsing trachea or some other chronic respiratory problem, there's cough suppressants sometimes there's bronchodilators that help to open the airways. And, you know, even sometimes antibiotics are indicated. So there's a lot of things we might be able to do. I'd say we just need to take that first step and get your baby back to the vet.
Hey, thanks for your call, Jacob. To my left, Dr. Debbie answering your vet medical questions. To my right, dog trainer Alan Cable, dog father Joey Volani, and animal communicator Joy Turner.
Dr. Debbie, you're like the best vet ever.
Oh, thank you.
I'm serious,
my tail
man.
Is wagging right now.
You know, I got a theory. You know, I got a theory that in life, 80% of people are quacks at what they do. 20% are great at it, and out of the 20%, 10% are good people and care, and you're one of those 10%. And you're right, people need to seek that out, because whenever money comes into something, you know, there's a temptation, you know, not to care. You've really got to go with your gut. You've got to make sure the person really cares about animals as well as trying to make a good living.
Joey, I see this morning when you came in, the first thing you did was opened Ladybug's mouth, her little craw, and you were using some kind of wipe in her mouth for her gums. Was that the John Paul stuff?
Yeah, John Paul Pet now makes dental wipes. These things are really easy and they're really cool to use, because it's like using a pop-up. You know, like those things that you wipe your skin with when you go away, like those wet wipes. Well, it basically looks just like that, but instead it has formula on it that actually removes the buildup of plaque and tartar on the teeth. So what you'll do is you'll go in there with your finger and wrap this around and wipe the teeth. Just make sure that your dog doesn't bite, because you don't want to come out with a bit finger as well. Go in there, wipe the gums. They don't seem to mind it. I actually use this on my dogs all the time. And it's a real easy way. It's easier than the gels. It's easier than the sprays, because you just get right in there. You wipe it off. And it look, check this out. You can look at the residue that actually comes off on it.
It smells so minty.
And that's with Alan's teeth.
All of Paul Mitchell's stuff tested on humans first. That's what it says right here on the front label.
Yes, it does.
Of the and then you also have the what is this?
That's
the
awesome,
Awapuchi shampoo. Now, I've been talking about this.
What do you just like to say it?
Awapuchi. Is that an herb or a...
Whatever it is, it works great. I use it on my pets. They feel great. They smell great. And you know what? I'm not embarrassed to say I used it on myself last night with the Awapuchi conditioner.
Oh, I'm tempted.
You can. You absolutely can. Well, I don't know if you can, but I've used it. My hair feels great. If you want, I'll use it on Ladybug later, and you can check her out. So this is going to keep your pet, skin from getting dry.
Joey, with all the products that you use 24/7. I mean, there's billions of things. There's clippers, there's shampoos, there's mosquito repellents. When do you have time to ignore your wife?
Let's go ahead and give away some of this John Paul Pet right now. The tooth and gum wipes, as well as the Awapuchi shampoo, the waterless foam shampoo, and the oatmeal shampoo.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Do your dogs go nuts when they hear fireworks or during a bad thunderstorm? It's not their fault. They have sensitive ears. You love your dog, and so do we. That's why we developed a perfect solution for your loved pets by eliminating the harmful noise. It's called Doggy Hush, a unique waterproof set of headphones that go over your dog's ears. They're so comfortable, your dog won't even know they're wearing them. And when this happens, your dog will feel and stay safe and stress-free. Go to DoggyHush.com. Enter the promo code we're about to give you for a free special gift. Again, buy Doggy Hush for your dog today and protect your dog's ears from fireworks, thunderstorms, and a lot more harmful noises. Go to DoggyHush.com and enter this promo code, Radio4. Radio and the number 4. Go to DoggyHush.com right now and enter the promo code Radio4. Again, that's promo code Radio4.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
See, the voices in my head say it's time to go back to the phones. Hey, let's go to Nick. Hey, Nick, how are you doing?
How you doing, sir? Thanks for taking my call.
Where are you calling from today?
Calling from Jersey.
Jersey. You're a Jersey boy.
Jersey. I love Jersey.
What's going on?
All right. I got a miniature schnauzer. He's 3 years old. We just rescued him from a shelter. We're having issues taking him for a walk. Every time we go to take him for a walk, he starts getting, overly excited. Starts screeching and almost like he's yelling. Can't take him any, probably about a quarter mile away from the house, not even. And then all the dogs start barking in the neighborhood, and
just starts drawing attention. And as soon as we turn around and start going home, he stops. So we're just curious on how to fix it and what we can do to help him.
Well, I'm glad you called, Nick. It's great to talk to you, buddy. And I can tell you this. I would guess if I were with you observing you, you're probably very tense and anxious when you take your dog for a walk until you start turning around to go home. And then you probably are totally mellowed out and you're calmer yourself. Is that true?
I guess you can say that. But, you know, I've also, you know, I understand that whole, you know, I got to be calm for him to be calm. So I have tried that whole, you know, the whole technique. It just doesn't seem to work.
It's not a technique, buddy. It's a way of life. And again, I was talking to another lady, people try things. They say, oh, it's not working, and they give up. But trying something and being something are two different things. It's not that you're trying to be calm, and it's not that you're acting calm. It's that you are calm 24/7 inside your mind, your heart, your soul, your body. And understand that your dog is very insecure. And to give a dog like that confidence, you have to be confident. And you have to do it forever, and it takes time. It's not the kind of thing where you're going to walk that dog and that dog is going to be cured after one time. You got to take baby steps. It's just like teaching a baby to ride a kid to ride a bike. You know, you just don't shove a kid on a bike and push him out into the middle of the street, right? You hold on, you put the training wheels on, you hold the seat, you give your child pep talks. It's a process. And to give a dog like that confidence is a process. So what you might try doing is, instead of taking your dog for a long walk, you start with little tiny walks. You walk your dog in your backyard until he's really comfortable. And then you take your dog for a walk out in front of the house until he's really comfortable and calm and secure and confident. You don't talk to him. You just walk him. You lead him. And then you go further and further from the house over time. And then when you notice your dog starting to get tense, like let's say you start and everything's going well and you're about 100 yards from the house and your dog starts to get agitated, you turn around and go home. Because you notice your dog's agitated. You take baby steps, and you tell your dog, good boy, when he's calm. And Nick, this is going to take time, buddy. This is going to take time.
I understand.
Okay? So it's baby steps. It's you believing inside your heart, soul, and mind that you're calm and not acting calm and checking yourself constantly. Is my arm relaxed? Am I feeling calm? Am I standing erect? Am I looking forward? Am I acting like a leader for my dog? Does my dog feel like I'll protect him? Am I there for him? And it's not talking. The less talking, the better. Okay? When you're walking your dog, do not talk to him. Just walk.
As far as the leash goes, long leash or short leash, right?
Well, that's interesting. You want your dog to be right along your side. If he's in front of you,
okay. You
are not the leader. He is the leader. So if your dog is leading you, you stop walking immediately. You just stand there, and you reel him back in. You want him on your left side, right at your knee, right on your side, never in front. That's what teaches a dog you're in charge. You're the leader.
I got you.
When you leave your house, you leave the house first. The dog is never in front. When you come home, you enter the house first. Your dog is never in front. When your dog comes into a room, it's because you've invited him into the room. Start thinking about all the things you do every day that tell your dog either I'm a leader or I'm a follower. Dogs, like toys and food and all that stuff, you're in charge of everything. It's all you. You own it all. And a lot of people think that's mean, but that's dog world. That's dog communication. That's how dogs act and think. They don't want to be in charge. And if a dog, you know, has control of toys or food or anything like that, at that moment, you are not his leader. He is your leader.
Gotcha.
Okay,
well,
buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Have a good day.
I will. I will have a good day.
Dr. Debbie, I have done extensive research you know, studying and doing all kinds of different, what do you call them, seminars and, you know.
Video games.
I've been in seclusion. I've been in seclusion basically with the monks trying to figure this thing out. And I've got two things for you. One of them I thought would be very interesting for you. The other one I think will get you extremely stoked. First of all, did you guys know that the outdoor temperature can be estimated within several degrees by timing the chirps of a cricket? Did you know that, Dr. Demi?
I did not know that. I like that. That is
very, very
cool.
Even I knew that.
You count the number of chirps in a 15-second period, then you add 37. And it works with Fahrenheit, but only when it's warm. That only works when it's warm. Okay, now here's my other one, Dr. Debbie. This is going to get you so excited. Dr. Debbie, did you know that there is a certain living thing that remains pregnant for its whole life?
A certain living thing that remains pregnant for its whole life? This is one of those brain teaser ones.
This is absolutely the truth.
The woman that has 29 kids.
Nope. Some female cockroaches mate once, and they're pregnant for the rest of their lives.
Wow.
That's cool. That trumps the cricket.
It really does.
Yeah. See, Dr. Devin getting all excited. Now I'm going to have a great week.
Thank you for the entertainment. I appreciate it, Alan. And yes, maybe bugs get me excited, and I don't really know it.
Join us next time for Will This Get Dr. Debbie Excited?
If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Judith Chapman from Young and the Restless at CBS, and I'm on Animal Radio right now, and I'm asking everyone out there to please spay and neuter your pets.
Is diabetes keeping you from enjoying life's special moments? At US Med, we understand the challenges you face, and we're here to help.
With US Med, I can finally manage my diabetes without it managing me.
US Med offers a wide range of services to simplify your diabetes care. Personalized care plans, convenient access to cutting-edge diabetes tech, and knowledgeable support. Plus, we'll check your insurance so your diabetes care may be covered at little or no cost to you.
With US Med, I feel confident and control of my diabetes. I can finally live my life to the fullest.
Don't let diabetes hold you back. Choose US Med and experience better birthdays, better adventures, better anniversaries, and better everything. Call now. US Med. Better service. Better care. 800-434-5019. 800-434-5019. 800-434-5019. That's 800-434-5019.
Hi, this is Ed Begley Jr. on Animal Radio. Live simply so that others may simply live.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Stacey Cohen for Animal Radio. A man in Miami is responsible for capturing and killing the largest Burmese python ever recorded in Florida. According to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, this record-breaking serpent was a 128-pound female. It measured 18 feet, 8 inches in length. Now, that shattered the previous record of 17 feet, 7 inches. Apparently, Miami resident Jason Leon was driving in a rural area of Miami-Dade County when he and a passenger spotted this giant reptile in the roadside brush. Well, he grabbed the snake by the head, and he began pulling it out of the brush. First of all, what would ever possess somebody to get out of the car and do this? That's the real question here. That's when this python began wrapping itself around his leg. After he got some help from his buddies, Leon killed the snake with a knife. Kristen Summers of the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission says the commission is grateful to Leon for safely removing the large snake and then reporting it to authorities. He's lucky to have his leg. A designer in Seattle's come up with an easy way to transform an average house cat into king of the jungle. The lion hat. Yumiko Landers told Metro.UK that the idea for the feline headpiece came from her sewing group. While making something to fit the cats and dogs theme that week, Landers came up with a so-called hat that allows the cat to sport a lion's mane. The product even comes in multiple colors, including golden brown, black, gray, ivory, and husky. Landers sells the hats online through Etsy and says she never would have expected it to be getting so many orders from all over the world. The American Heart Association has declared that pets, especially dogs, guess what? They're good for a person's heart. Further proof that dogs are among the best friends a person can have. Dr. Glenn N. Levine, director of Baylor University's cardiac care unit, was quoted in a press release from the AHA saying, "Pet ownership, particularly dog ownership, is probably associated with a decreased risk of heart disease." He said that owning a dog may help reduce cardiovascular risk because dogs bug their owners into taking them for walks on a regular basis. And dog owners were, according to the AHA study, 54% more likely than non-dog owners to get a suggested amount of exercise. So good news, no doubt. Get out there with your dog. I'm Stacey Cohen. Get more animal breaking news at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Hi, this is Iron Chef Kat Cora on Animal Radio. Please adopt a pet.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
An underlying theme to today's show is the obese factor. We're talking about a lot of animals that have, well, they're a little bit overweight. And here in the studio, and I'm sure Dr. Debbie will agree, that, well, three of the four animals, four out of five. Probably weigh just a little too much. So we're guilty of this, too. But these are animals that are way overweight. In fact, we were supposed to talk to the lady who has Obi, who is the dachshund who weighed 77 pounds.
Jeez.
And apparently she's in a custody battle with that dog now that it's a famous dog. And you are unable to get a hold of her.
Yeah,
it may be because of the lawsuit. We don't know.
We don't know. Still trying to reach her.
So we'll find out more in just a couple of minutes. I also mentioned a couple of weeks ago about this cat that was hanging out at McDonald's. And yeah, I know, just horrible. Eating all the food there, living on the diet of McDonald's for over a year until someone came along and realized this cat just doesn't look good. The McDonald's is not doing this cat any good. And that person, I believe, is Bridget Bull. Hey, Bridget, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing very well, Hal. talking to you today.
Yeah, where are you?
I'm on a remote sheep and beef farm in New Zealand. I'm talking to you from my home today. But I work for the Waikato SPCA. And it was my colleague, Jessica Watson, who rescued Frankie from his life of terrible fast food habits.
So would Frankie just hung out at a McDonald's and people would feed Frankie?
Frankie was a stray.
Okay.
He was abandoned when his owners left their apartment block, and he basically took up residence in the at the drive-thru. And he learned that people would toss him scraps. And yes, he lived at McDonald's.
What was his favorite McDonald's item? Do you know?
Well, I hear he had two. He liked the burger patties, the meat inside. People would order one for themselves, an extra one for Frankie, and the little chicken nuggets. I don't know. Do you have them in America?
Oh yes.
They're kind of bite sized. You can imagine you could toss onto a cat, snaffle it up. I think those were his two favorites. Yeah.
Was he overweight
when we brought him in?
Yes. Was he overweight?
No, he was not overweight when we brought him in.
Wow.
So and my colleagues, he was so... I work for the Waikato SPCA. We're a charitable organization in New Zealand that... an animal welfare organization. And we rescue, amongst other things, we rescue and rehome stray animals. And we'd been keeping an eye on Frankie for a year or so. But he was healthy. You know, he was a healthy animal, and we don't have capacity to take in healthy strays off the street.
Sure.
So it was not until we noticed that his condition was deteriorating that we thought, well, actually, we have to act. So he was not overweight, no, but his fur became matted, his eyelids, his third eyelid, were up, and his face had become very swollen.
Ooh. This is actually the same thing that's happened to Alan Cable here. And
yes,
you do eat a lot of Big Macs, I noticed.
Oh, constantly. Actually, I have them pumped in directly, intravenously pumped in. Yeah.
And this is the proof that you don't necessarily have to look at a pet and see a fat pet to know that they're not eating right. So nutritional deficiencies come in all sorts of ways. How sad for Frankie. How is he doing?
He's doing very well. I understand he's doing extremely well. We did find him a new home. It was quite a process.
I bet.
Because Arby's.
There was a lot of demand for this cat, you know, because he's got quite a story behind him. He's doing well. He's eating well.
Do they have to feed him McDonald's?
No. I understand they're no longer feeding him McDonald's.
Oh, that's good. But he's taken to regular cat food now.
Yes, he has. You will have seen in the news that... It took a while when Jessica Watson took him home. She fostered this who was then a very unhealthy animal, took him home and produced some Hill's Science Diet, which is what we use to feed the animals at the SPCA. He thought, what is this? Can I have fries with that? No? Oh. He wasn't interested. So, but it took him a while, and eventually, you know, he got to like the regular cat food, and he's doing much better for it now.
How old would you estimate him to be?
I don't know, actually. He's an adult cat.
Now he's addicted to Jerry Springer, cat. Though.
I gotta ask, what is the takeaway lesson from this?
Okay, I would say the takeaway lesson for us as an animal welfare organization is that we have a problem with stray cats in this country, in our city, in New Zealand, because people are not de-sexing their animals, you know, so they have too many cats. They can't afford to feed them, they can't afford to look after them, and they throw them out on the streets. We end up, the SPCA, we end up as a sort of ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, taking in sick, stray, malnourished animals for whatever reason, when people should be taking responsibility for the welfare of their animals and getting them de-sexed. Yeah.
We talked to, some nutcase.
I don't remember his name.
4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, maybe a little over a month ago.
Yeah, a while back.
One of your politicians, I believe, who's trying to...
Oh, did you?
Huh?
Did you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the guy who wants to get rid of all the cats.
Yeah.
Oh, you spoke to Gareth Morgan. He's a leading businessman and entrepreneur philanthropist. Yeah.
big cat problem there in New Zealand, I guess.
Yes, we do have a big problem with stray and feral cats in New Zealand, and that's why the work that the SPCA is doing, that my colleagues are doing, to reduce cat numbers, basically by we educate the public on the importance of having their animals de-sexed. When I say reduce cat numbers, I'm a cat lover. Cats make wonderful pets, and people love their cats.
We love them too.
Yes, we do.
Exactly. The problem is with strays, yes. So we do have a big stray cat problem, and we're working with people to educate on the importance of de-sexing. Yeah.
You're doing good work, and I appreciate you spending time with us. It's got to be early there. What time is it?
It is 7 minutes past 8 on a Sunday morning.
Oh, my
wow.
gosh. Thank you so much for spending time with us and telling us the story.
That's my pleasure. That's my absolute pleasure. And thanks for speaking about our great work. We know in New Zealand that Americans are also great philanthropists and generous people. So
give out the website.
We're in the middle of a fundraising appeal to support the work of the Waikato SPCA, and there's a website. People can go to www.waikatospca/petproject and donate to our work and find out a little bit more about what we do. And thank you for your time today.
Of course. We'll put a link to that at animalradio.com. So if you're driving along right now and you want to visit that website, just head on over to animalradio.com. Bridget, thank you so much for spending time with us.
My pleasure.
We'll head back to the phones next, right here on Animal Radio.
I wouldn't mind living in that country, but they won't let me in.
This is Animal Radio.
Need a fix of the good stuff? Get more Animal Radio with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Do your dogs go nuts when they hear fireworks or during a bad thunderstorm? It's not their fault. They have sensitive ears. You love your dog, and so do we. That's why we developed a perfect solution for your loved pets by eliminating the harmful noise. It's called Doggy Hush, a unique waterproof set of headphones that go over your dog's ears. They're so comfortable, your dog won't even know they're wearing them. And when this happens, your dog will feel and stay safe and stress-free. Go to DoggyHush.com. Enter the promo code we're about to give you for a free special gift. Again, buy Doggy Hush for your dog today and protect your dog's ears from fireworks, thunderstorms, and a lot more harmful noises. Go to DoggyHush.com and enter this promo code. Radio 4. Radio and the number 4. Go to DoggyHush.com right now and enter the promo code Radio 4. Again, that's promo code Radio 4.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Only 8 minutes left and 3 calls. I'm going to try to get these calls in for you here.
Being a bad person.
I don't care.
Shut your trap, he's saying, okay?
I got to tell you, man, I'm off balance because I just spent the night with 10, 12-year-olds, and my brain is scrambled.
Yeah.
And he means that in a good way. He's like, what are you, a camp leader or something like that?
No, my dang daughter had her birthday party over here, and she's like, oh, Dad, don't worry. Girls aren't crazy like boys. And I mean, 2:30 in the morning, and they're still hooping and hollering up there, and it's like, oh, my gosh, they're never going to go to bed. They're insane. They were insane.
I'm so glad you're here. Alan Cable, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Marge, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling from today?
Well, right now I'm in Oklahoma.
You a truck driver?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a English Mastiff. She's 8 months old, and I had her in a training for a while to be able to walk without dragging me across the street and to come on a halt command. But she does real good at halt command at home. Like if she's in the backyard and I yell halt, she comes right to me. But when I stop on the road, like I always try to stop where there's an open field where I can let her run. She doesn't come on the halt command when I tell her. And I use treats, like when she starts coming to me finally, I tell her come and then I give her a treat. But it seems like she just ignores me when I'm yelling halt for her to come to me.
Well, she's 8 months old, and what you said is real interesting that you use treats because that's a good technique. But just so you know, until your dog is able to come to you whenever you call, you probably shouldn't let her off leash in strange places. That's probably something you shouldn't do. And the way to train your dog to come to you, it's a good technique with treats. When she's really into treats, you have a leash on her, and you just sort of stand there and let the leash out and tell her to come. And when she comes, you give her a treat. And you do it over and over and over again, and then you stop giving her treats, but you give her affection. One thing you don't want to do, a lot of people do that I see, they make a terrible mistake. They get really frustrated when their dog doesn't come. And then when their dog finally does come, they punish the dog. So if you're doing that, you're sending the dog a message. Good for you, girl, because you don't want to do that. Now, the reason why your dog doesn't come when you're in a strange place and you let her go in a field is because there's way more interesting things than you in that field that she's distracted by. And if there's more fun away from you than there is with you, she's going to go to where the fun is, especially at 8 months old. She's going to want to explore, and she's going to want to go kooky. And she is not going to pay any attention to you until she learns to respect you and look at you as a leader. And that takes time and patience and consistency. And I would not let her off a leash if I were you, unless it's a fenced place, because she is not going to pay attention to you for a while. You've got to work with her extensively. And as I told one caller, remember, you may train your dog 15, 20 minutes a day, but your dog is watching you another 23 hours and 45 minutes a day. And whatever you're doing, you're teaching your dog, whether you're a leader or you're not. So you've got to act like a leader and check yourself before you wreck yourself constantly when you're with a dog. You got to think about what you're doing and how you're acting. Act like a leader, and your dog will treat you like a leader. But remember, you've got to work with your dog every day on this exercise until she learns to come to you every single time you call. Because if not, what happens is one day your dog gets hit by a car.
Well, that's why I always go in a big open field where we're not by anything. Okay, I just felt bad because she doesn't get a whole lot of exercise. And when
well,
we
there
stop,
you go. There you go. That's the number one cardinal rule of teaching a dog that you're a leader is you can't feel bad. Okay? If you feel bad, you've instantly lost. When you feel bad inside, you are not a leader. You're not treating your dog like a leader. You're not being a leader. What you're doing is you're having a human emotion of guilt. And when you feel guilty, you cannot be an effective leader of a dog. You can't do it.
Okay. I listened to you guys. I just found you guys a couple weeks ago, so I've been listening to it. I just expecting too much too soon.
Well, you are, girlfriend. She's only 8 months old. You can get one of those 50-foot retractable leashes, too, and you can let her go and pay no attention to you, you know, and let her do her thing.
Right.
And then you call her, you say, come. And if she doesn't pay attention to you, give a little jolt. Give a little tug of the leash. Come.
Okay.
Give a little jolt. Okay. Only do it twice, though. If she doesn't listen, retract the leash, bring it in, stop talking, stand there. And when she starts paying attention to you, you look at her and go, good dog. Then do it over and over and over and over and over again. Never stop until she learns to stop what she's doing. You know, I have a dog. He could be chasing a bunny, and I'll go, hey, stop. And he stops in his tracks and comes to me. That takes months and months and months of work.
Okay. All right. That's probably what I needed to hear. I do have one question. On these English Mastiffs, are they good dogs for Are they stubborn or are they, you know, like I know, like I used to have a Shar Pei and I couldn't do anything with that Shar Pei. But these English Mastiffs, are they good dogs?
The only dogs that, you know, you really, it's hard to train them to do stuff. It's not that they're stubborn. It's just because of the way they are, their breed. You know, our chow dogs and also huskies and malamutes, they're kind of aloof. You know, they're kind of hard to train. They don't act like your normal dog. They kind of act like cats. So they're a little bit different, and you have to treat them differently. They're powerful dogs, and, you know, they're bred to pull sleds, and chow dogs, I guess, at one time guarded palaces, and so they're very independent. But I don't really have much experience with an English Mastiff, although a lot of people are getting those dogs now. I would just assume, Dr. Debbie probably know more than me, that, you know, pretty much they're like any other dog, and you've just got to be their leader.
Okay, well, I appreciate you guys talking to me, and I'm not giving up on her, that's for sure.
Don't give up on her, but stop feeling guilty. That's a human emotion. Dogs don't feel guilt. You shouldn't either.
Okay, I won't. I'll get a longer leash. I have a walking leash, and then I have the ones that she can retract out, but I don't think it's 50 feet, so I'll get one of those.
Good luck to you, Marge.
Thanks for listening to Animal Radio, Marge. Tell a friend about it, if you will. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to download the Animal Radio app. I mean, come on. You don't have it yet? It's free for your iPhone and Android. We'll see you next week right here for more Animal Radio on this fine station.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Animal Radio Network.